The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show, and let's take a bit of a mental health break from war and viruses and electoral politics in the West, and talk a little bit about beauty. How about that? I was struck by this piece in the American Conservative, Why Star Wars is Better at Urban Planning Than Real Planners, and I read it, and it included a Mystery Science Theater 3000 reference, which cemented my desire for our next guest, the author of this piece, Matthew Robert, a freelance journalist based in Boston. Matthew, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
No problem.
So you end your piece, and let's start there because I think you can develop it from there. Maybe new real estate development should be theatrically storyboarded as well as architecturally rendered, talking about how we interact in public spaces and why those who create some of our favorite movies are better urban planners than the urban planners.
Yeah, if you go to a public meeting where they show these renderings of the proposed buildings or developments, it's all static imagery. So you don't get a sense of how you move through the space.
Right. So you're thinking about public spaces as places for human interaction. My sense is what you argue is that it's often conveyed in some of our favorite movies and favorite scenes from our favorite movies. You mentioned how in all the Star Wars movies, most of the environments where you see the characters are in landscapes that they can walk around and interact. When it comes to urban planning, it's a little bit less so. And so just sort of art inspiring maybe some of how we shape our reality.
Exactly.
And so thinking about this, why is that important? Why is it important to reflect in reality what we see on the screen? It may look good in a fictional planet in Star Wars. Why should it be part of the landscape in a big city?
The biggest reason is that it just tends to work better. I mean, we demolished huge sections of our cities to build highways, and they become very unpleasant places to be. They're full of parking lots, and you can't walk across the street because of the 8 lanes of traffic. If you look at sort of the more walkable places in the country, they produce more tax revenue for city services. There are more retail sales. The property values are higher. People even live longer and have more community and more interaction with their neighbors.
I mean, it's sort of a dichotomy in a sense, right? I mean, so many of these are urban developments. There's an emphasis on green space. You know, we're going to provide X amount of green space or X amount of community space. And it's sort of like as a way to provide a glide path to the overall project rather as something central to the project. And what I sort of get you to be arguing is that, you know, those green spaces or community spaces should be more central because, that's the way we interact. You write in your piece that we as citizens are performer and spectator.
Exactly. If you look at a lot of the green spaces, it's like a little piece of grass with a tree and a bench, and it's right next to this huge roadway. So if you actually sat on the bench, you'd be just inhaling a bunch of fumes from the cars going by all day.
Right. It's shoehorned in, and so you're a spectator to, like the concrete jungle rather than a spectator to rather than something that's communitarian in part, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think about this. Obviously, you have a higher population density, and so you have space issues. So I think where I live in downtown Chicago, I'm near Lake Michigan. So there's some green space, and then there's the lake right there and so on and so forth. but it still is somewhat difficult to have those communitarian experiences, I think you're talking about, even if you can walk a couple blocks to get a lot of things done and to have different, go to a bowling alley, go to a movie theater, these other excursions you can access. It's just difficult, I think, to have that sort of organic experience with other human beings, in part because of the density and the premium on space, right?
I disagree. Okay. I mean, if you look at a lot of like sort of like old Italian cities from the Middle Ages, they're all packed in like sardines compared to any American city, and they're famous for their community. In the American Conservative, Rod Dreher writes a lot about about Siena, life there, and the Palio, the big annual horse race, and how all the little neighborhoods of Siena contribute teams and are really competitive with each other.
Yeah, you just going back to film, to go, I just think it's an interesting way to tackle this. You talk about Hollywood making films that actually make places that are, or at least look, more humane to live in, and so that's part of being a good storyteller, having presenting something that has aesthetic, emotional appeal. And you know, Hollywood, for all their faults, many in Hollywood are pretty good storytellers. So it tells us or reflects something about our humanity in some of the films, including those that you describe.
Oh, definitely. We need beauty to live. We need aesthetics, and we're sort of missing that from our cities. I mean, and Hollywood is really good at picking up on that, which is why in a lot of films that involve religion, they depict a Catholic church with something more like the traditional Latin mass. And you don't see that in far too many churches.
Yeah, just this idea of beauty, too, because this is at least in part what you're getting to. And I recently listened to a talk from the poet Dana Gioia that was posted over at firstthings.com. And that's what he was zeroing in on, too. I mean, the importance of beauty, both for secular as well as sacred reasons, because it sort of helps us better understand ourselves as well as ourselves within the world. And it seems to me when you're talking about some real estate developments, you're sort of getting to the same thing that he's getting to more generally.
Oh, yeah. James Matthew Wilson has a great book called The Vision of the Soul. And one of the things he talks about is this sort of traditional concept of beauty in Western philosophy is based on integrity, proportion, and clarity, which are a little hard to define, but the upshot of it is that it sort of points to a sort of space for humanity where we sort of know our place, and it's not too far down below, and it's also not too far above. We're sort of rightly positioned to see the truth of the universe.
It's funny because you know, George Lucas, when he was pitching locations for his Star Wars museum, effectively, you know, it was more than that, but that's the handle. And there was a rendering of what it would look like on the lakefront in Chicago before he chose another city. It was sort of a little bit ghastly and rather sterile from looking at the artist's rendering of the outside. But it was also going to be on the lakefront, where you have campuses that are communitarian in nature. So, you know, you can argue about the aesthetics of the actual structure, but it's in a place that is walkable, to your point about the Star Wars movies and about these developments more generally.
Yeah, a good environment can save a bad building. A good building can save a bad environment.
That's a good summary. Yeah, that's a pretty good handle. Rules of the road for architecture. He is Matthew Robert, freelance journalist based in Boston. Check out his piece, which I'll tweet out over at theamericanconservative.com. Why Star Wars is better urban planning than real planners. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem Radio Network.